Hello, everybody. I'm back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Did you enjoy that last half hour? I did. What I got from it, I knew this before, but I want to highlight something that I got from it. It's so important if you are going through a health crisis, and I speak from experience. It's so important to find a doctor that you are in harmony with. If you're working with a doctor that doesn't listen to you and isn't open to what makes you tick and what you're comfortable with, you're going to have more conflict and more challenge than you need. I know when I was going through my advanced ovarian cancer treatment 8 years ago, I spoke with a number of doctors, and some of them made me cry for joy. Some I left laughing, knowing I am not going back there because they are not going to do what's in my best interest. Not that they wanted to do badly. I think most doctors want to do the right thing. But we all have different approaches. It was just like Dr. Bao was telling us how some doctors feel like if a patient who is seemingly terminal wants to have ice cream or something with sugar in it, well, then why not let them? And there's some value to that. But when somebody realizes that sugar can be harmful, I think the doctor should support that. And we know, she was talking about how some doctors need hard evidence. There's so much evidence out there. And the approach that I took was, if there's some potential that a supplement or a food or whatever could help me, I was going to use it. There were some things that I didn't use that people suggested to me just because the evidence was really, really weak, but there's a lot of evidence that's really powerful. And we know that cruciferous vegetables, at least, don't harm us. They're only good. And I really think those mushrooms, Coriolis, Reishi, and Maitake, are very powerful. All right. That's that. So I want to remind you, you can always give me comments and questions at info@realmeals.org, info@realmeals.org. Let me know what you think of the programs. If you have any comments and questions, I answer them. So please ask away. Let me know what you think. I want to tell you what I think. So in the news recently, we've got the big company Unilever. Have you heard of them? They make a lot of food. And they're angry with a little company called Hampton Creek. Hampton Creek Foods, you may have heard of them. I had their CEO on this show about a year ago or so, Josh Tetrick. And Hampton Creek is trying to remove the actual chicken egg from products that use eggs. And what they're doing in their laboratories is finding plant foods when put in certain combinations will create the same final product that you would get instead of using eggs. And the idea behind it is, number one, eliminating all the cruelty of producing all those unfortunate chickens that are crammed into factory farms and have their beaks cut off, and many of them are caged where they can't move their wings. It's a very horrible situation. So why not? If we could make a food product that is the same or better without the cruelty, why wouldn't you want to do that? And what they're learning is that it's cheaper to do this. This is a very exciting concept. Now, those of us who have been vegans for a long time or looking to reduce, eliminate animal foods, we know how to make baked goods and other foods without using eggs. There's flax seeds, chia seeds, bananas, apple sauce. It depends on what you're making, but there are lots of different substitutes which will give you the same or better results in your baked goods. And we make all kinds of wonderful, like, scrambles with tofu, and I love using garbanzo bean flour to make omelets. If you season them up and add all kinds of wonderful vegetables, you're making some really good dishes that may not be exactly the same, but I think they're better. Okay, so what's the deal here? Unilever makes Hellmann's mayonnaise. Now, we call it Hellmann's here on the East Coast, and on the West Coast, it's called Best Foods. But it's a mayonnaise made from eggs. And they're annoyed because Hampton Creek's Just Mayo product is starting to get a little more market share than Unilever wants to share. So they're suing because they want to say that Hampton Creek can't call their product mayo. They want to own the word mayonnaise and mayo. And Hampton Creek believes that mayo or mayonnaise implies eggs. And actually, the FDA's definition of mayonnaise says it's an egg product. So they're fighting. And it's just a fascinating scenario. And I hope Hampton Creek wins because I like what they're doing and I like their product. Unilever is saying that they're misleading, that Hampton Creek is misleading the public. I don't think they are. They've been out for a few years now talking about what they're doing, and they've been really clear. And do we have any questions coming in for the show, perhaps? I'll take them if anybody wants to ask them. Or email me at info@realmeals.org. But what I'm saying is, I don't think they have been misleading to the public. Okay, but this brings up some interesting things about naming foods. So something similar to the mayo scenario is cheese, for example. You may remember we had Miyoko Shinner on recently talking about her new company, Miyoko's Kitchen, and she's coming up with some delicious nut-based, dare I say, cheeses. She calls them cultured nut products because in California, you can't call this product a cheese unless it's made from cow's milk or animal milk. And I got a problem with that. It's cheese. It tastes like cheese. It looks like cheese. It's cheese. But the companies that make cheese from animal milk don't want the competition, and they don't want to mislead the public. And on the subject of cultured nut foods or cheese alternatives, we recently tried a new product put out by Field Roast. Do you know Field Roast? It's a grain meat. Oh, maybe I shouldn't call it meat. It's a meat alternative or analog. And some of their products are very tasty. Well, they have a new family member, and it's called Chow. It's called Chow Slices, C-H-A-O. It's a vegan coconut cheese alternative. They're calling it a cheese alternative because they can't call it cheese. How long are we going to keep up with this? I'm kind of fascinated with all the alternative cheese products that are coming out now. Some of the original ones that came out are downright terrible. But the new ones that are coming out are really interesting and game changers, in my opinion. And they're starting to make these cheese alternatives with the same things that animal milk cheese are made with, enzymes and probiotics, and they're growing those things in the cheese, and that's what gives cheese flavor. Oh, and that's what gives the cheese alternative products flavor too. So this particular cheese, it comes wrapped like American cheese slices, and it's made with a traditionally fermented soybean curd called chow, C-H-A-O, made by the Vietnamese. And then they mix it with coconut oil, and that's what makes it melt. Now, I really like it. And it is non-GMO, and it's non-dairy. It's not organic. And it's not the healthiest food in the world. But if we're going to be eating cheese, or I think it would be better to substitute the animal-based cheese, because growing these animals to make milk is horrifically cruel and bad for the environment and not too good for our health. So if we could make a very similar or better product and avoid all of that, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? But what I'm saying is these cheese products, these alternative cheese products, these vegan cheese products, these vegan cheese alternative, these nut-cultured, soy-cultured things. They're not the healthiest food. They're not kale and broccoli. But a little goes a long way. And when you're craving these foods, and occasionally, you know, you might want to have a grilled cheese, this Chow product is amazing. So check it out, Chow Vegan Slices. They have creamy original, coconut herb, and tomato cayenne. I've just tried the tomato cayenne, and it was quite good. It's not something that I'm going to eat all the time, just for an occasional treat. All right, I wanted to talk about some more products. Oh, but not just yet. So on this same subject of what's in a name, should we call it cheese or not cheese? Should we call it mayonnaise or not mayonnaise? There's something I like about branding a food based on its region. I don't have a problem with this. I like that champagne, the sparkling wine that the French make, comes from the region of Champagne. I like that. I like that Bordeaux wines come from the French Bordeaux region. I like branding based on a region. I think there's a lot of subtlety to it, because when we're making artisanal products or products from a certain region, that region has a unique soil, it has a unique climate, and it makes a unique food. I don't like calling Dijon mustard that's not from Dijon. I don't like it giving it the Dijon name. It could be called some kind of like a wine mustard or something. But if it's not from Dijon, personally, I don't think it should be called Dijon. Don't you like saying Dijon? Dijon, Dijon. but there are a lot of foods like that. And I like the fact that in France, they call bread pain, P-A-I-N. And that means it's basically just flour and water and yeast, a little salt. If you put eggs in it, it's not called pain anymore. It becomes brioche. I like that. But I don't think that's the same as the word cheese or mayonnaise. It's just my opinion. But I think we can have cheese made from nut milks and coconut milk. And I think we can have mayonnaise that doesn't have eggs in it. Say hallelujah to that. All right. So a few products I want to talk about. Recently, I was given a Conscious Box, and you can find out about Conscious Box at consciousbox.com. And it's kind of a fun thing. They have a subscription, and I don't know that I would go for a regular subscription, but to get a few of them, it's great for, let's say you know somebody who just became a vegan and they want to find out about all the vegan products. They have a Vegan Conscious Box, and you can get one. One every month, or one every 3 months, for 6 months or 3 months. They have a variety of things. Anyway, I got this Conscious Box, and it came with some sample products that I got to know. Some of them are worth mentioning, so I'm going to mention them. One of them is called, you're going to love this, Primal Pit Paste. Have you heard of Primal Pit Paste? It's for the underarm, and it says, killing the odor without killing your body. Now, what I love about this product is you can eat it. Now, I wouldn't eat it, but every ingredient in here is food, or things that we put in food. And if you've heard me before, I'm really particular about personal care products, and I believe that we need to be really careful about what we put on our skin and what we use in our hair. All our personal care products should be made from ingredients that are recognizable. And I think a good rule of thumb is if they're ingredients that we can eat, then they shouldn't be too harmful to put on our skin. Our skin's our largest organ, and anything you put on your skin gets into your body. It's pretty simple. That's why I love, for example, using coconut oil. I use it on my skin. I use it as a makeup remover, an eye makeup remover. I put it on my hair. I love coconut oil. Primal Pit Paste. Say that. Primal Pit Paste. Primal Pit Paste. It's made from organic coconut oil, organic raw shea butter, non-aluminum baking soda, organic arrowroot powder and organic essential oils. The one I had a lovely lavender scent. And I like it. It works. And I'm not one who likes to use those kinds of products. So I give a thumbs up to Primal Pit Paste. Another company I want to talk about is Me and the Girls. And their website is meandthegirls.com, spelled out. What I got in my conscious box was their lip balm. And it's the season where I live in the cold when your lips get uncomfortably dry and chapped. And as a vegan, it can be kind of challenging finding something to keep your lips comfortable and smooth and luscious. And their luscious lip balm, I think that's what it's called, is quite tasty and works very good. And the company has a really nice philosophy. Beneficial organic beauty focuses on the development of the most effective, lush moisturizers to make your skin soft, useful, and beautiful. During the process, we create working environments that foster creativity, inclusivity, and respect among our employees. Sales generate income that support organic farmers in their efforts to produce safe organic crops and also allow fair trade workers to sustainably harvest lush pods and seeds at fair wages. Shouldn't every company be like that? So those were two fun products that I got out of the Conscious Box that I thought were worth mentioning. Okay. There's a holiday coming up. It's called Thanksgiving here in the United States. Those in Canada have already had their Thanksgiving last month. It's an interesting holiday. I like it very much. And I recently wrote how much it means to me on my ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com website. And I hope you take the time to visit ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com and read my Thanksgiving story. I share a number of different experiences of Thanksgiving. And it's just an interesting concept because the idea about it is lovely. And many cultures have these different holidays where we celebrate harvest and being grateful for the food that we have. And that, I mean, we should do that. We should do that every day, being grateful, thinking about every bite that we put in our mouth of the food that we get. Something I also like to say, I haven't said it in a while, is anything you eat when you're eating it, whether it's healthy or not healthy, you should enjoy it and embrace it as you're taking it in. You shouldn't be saying, oh, I shouldn't be eating this. This is not good for me. No. That shouldn't happen while you're eating. While you're eating, you should tell your body to take the good from what you're eating and let the rest go. But everything you eat, if you're going to eat it, enjoy it. All right, back to my little my Thanksgiving story. Thanksgiving can be extremely stressful. We have, especially when we have dietary issues, and there are a lot of different kinds of ways people are eating today. It can be really challenging to prepare a dinner that's going to work for everyone. People can be gluten-free on a low salt diet, on a paleo diet, on a vegan raw diet, on a vegan macro diet, on a lacto-ovo diet, on a high protein diet, on a low carb diet, on a low fat diet, on a high fat diet. You know, we're a little nutty when it comes to food, aren't we? Anyway, and I've got my own preferences and my own favorites. So I talk about that at ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. And of course, we have recipes for you. And our beautiful feature is a recipe that my partner Gary created last year. And it is our new tradition. And it is the red curry squash stuffed with polenta stuffing. That's a little redundant. Red curry squash with polenta stuffing. Now, the red curry squash What a beautiful invention this is. And you may not be able to find it everywhere, and it's better to shop early than late when it comes to picking out your squashes. But it's a beautiful red-orange squash, and it's got the cutest little point at the top of it. And you can cut the top off, scoop out the seeds inside, and fill it with this lovely stuffing and roast it, actually, like that people serve during Thanksgiving. And you can slice it and carve it at the table. It's stunning. And you can get that recipe at responsibleeatingandliving.com. We have some other wonderful ones. And if you haven't seen our Thanksgiving food show yet, it's right there at the homepage for you to check out some of my favorite Thanksgiving recipes, like the French cassoulet. I think it's perfect for Thanksgiving. You know, the three sisters, corn, squash, and beans. It's a beautiful concept, the three sisters, and the Indians knew the importance of growing corn, squash, and beans together. They're companion crops, and the three help each other. I just love the fact that we acknowledge that and can see how nature works in cooperation. So you should read a little bit about the three sisters and celebrate them by putting corn, beans, and squash on your Thanksgiving table. So that's where the cassoulet comes in. It's a luscious bean dish with a creamy mustard herb dressing. Fabulous. We have a decadent, epic lasagna made with butternut squash and Brussels sprouts and a tempeh bacon filling, cashew cream, bechamel. I'm getting hungry. It is so good. And don't forget turnips. I couldn't stand turnips as a kid. I've learned to love them, and they're great alone or mashed together with potatoes. They're great in a soup. That's all for now. So I think that I'm going to end the show right there on a delicious note. Have a wonderfully delicious week. Of course, next week we have another program with Vasanta Molina, and we're going to be covering a lot of nutrition questions, and that'll occur before Thanksgiving. But I wanted to give you a little heads up before Thanksgiving so you can start getting ready. Thanks for joining me. I'm Karen Hart. Glad you've been listening to It's All About Food, and have a delicious week.